All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
You are now listening to the Coding Behind the Wheel podcast.
All right, what's going on? I'm Scott from Koenig, and this is Nick from Koenig, and a special guest that's joining us here. This is Doubt, also from Koenig. Doubt's a newcomer in the sense that he's been here for a few months now, and his relevancy will be more apparent in a few moments. But Doubt, podcast, Doubt.
Nice to meet you.
We were having a discussion around the office recently, and Doubt is a very Volkswagen Audi guy, right? You're a Euro guy.
Yeah, Euro guy.
Yeah, Euro cars. These German cars.
Yeah. So we have these random discussions. You might call it hating on him, but that's not what was happening.
It's all day, guys.
That's kind of what's happening, yeah.
So, I think what's interesting about us, and I think what's cool about us, is that we have a pretty diverse car group in the office. So it allows people coming from all different kind of segments to kind of have a lot of friendly back and forth within the segments. But the good thing about it is that when it comes down to wheels and different things that we do, the one benefit that you get is when we come to products and wheels that we're trying to make.
You have all these different opinions going in on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my hands, because if you're on iTunes, or Google Play, we are using one lav mic, which is on me because I'm a snob, and Doubt and Nick are using handheld mics, and I've never not done a podcast
without a microphone
in your hands. When we're usually doing other content and we're lavved, we're doing other things, and this is like, I don't know what to do with my hands, like, right? I feel very like they got chopped off, but anyhow. So the one benefit, like you said, like we were saying, is you get some real interesting feedback on different products, right? Not every product that we build is going to be specialized or kind of fitted to one group of person.
Yep.
And with that, we have to also stay in our lane,
right?
Like Koenig's known for some things, but, you know, we have had a lot of gravitation and a lot of pull from Volkswagen Audi guys and the Euro community and BMWs, and I would say that they're probably more motorsport centric, right?
Yeah.
And for the people that are putting the stuff on the car, there's that common debate, do have those people that are Volkswagen Audi guys that run a lot of our stuff now, did they come from other other Japanese or tuning cars, and they're moving into the Volkswagen platform because it's kind of become so popular, and there's a lot of, aftermarket support kind of following the same type of thing.
Yeah.
Or are they just car guys that happen to have these wheels, or are they Euro people and they're kind of getting into our stuff?
Right.
There's a multitude of mixing pots there.
Very, very different multiple plots for that, if you want to call it.
Right.
Yeah.
But what's fun about this whole thing is that when you start talking about Euro cars, Doubt is not into the style of wheels that we make, which is all good. So we have some other things, and it's cool because we're starting to work on some projects now that we probably would not have.
Coming soon.
Right. That's right. Not that soon. But hopefully for 2021, we have some stuff that will be Doubt inspired, right?
Nice. But wait, before we continue,
we already screwed it up.
You can stay up to date. I mean, I hope they made it this far. I hope they make it to the rest of this. But make sure you like and subscribe. We forgot to do it in the beginning. It's this way somewhere.
Yeah. If you're on iTunes, please go over to our YouTube and throw a sub at us or something, right?
So then you can find out what new wheels we have for 2021.
That's right. We'll be bringing that stuff there soon. So what we were saying right before, we forgot to do the one thing that we're only supposed to do.
We were talking about Japanese-style wheels on Euro cars.
Right. So, and that's kind of where we're circling back to, right? We have some other stuff. But so one of the debates that came up in the office was, he's a hardcore Euro guy, and the type of wheels that he would put on his car, he puts on his car, to me, they're not in my wheelhouse. I can appreciate that somebody could like that style, but they're not in my wheelhouse. But could you put, like, would you, we were talking about, we were talking about a very popular other brand wheel that I don't, what the hell was it? We were talking about TEs.
TE37s.
Yeah. And you were like, oh, I put those on a car. I'm like, wait a minute, stop.
Yeah. Yeah,
the guy that just got done basically saying how, no, Euros guys do this, they do this, like that. No, they don't want to do that. And he's like, and he's going to go to a hardcore JDM known wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what? That doesn't make any sense to me. And so he's like, well, you can put TEs on
you can
anything.
Put them on anything.
Yeah, you can put
TEs
on anything.
So here's my thing. The question really comes down to, can you put JDM wheels on Euro cars?
Yes.
He says yes. But, you know, there's a multitude, and this is something else I think we'll touch on maybe next week. So give us your feedback and your thoughts here. But one of the things that we were talking about that also came into this conversation was mm-hmm. about, are all JDM wheels from Japan? Which is a whole other separate conversation.
That'll be a whole other podcast that
yeah.
we do.
Yeah, maybe next week.
Coming soon.
Right. So I'm not sure.
Make sure you subscribe.
So you don't feel that in the whole premise of all this stuff, I don't want to niche out one type of wheel, because there's a lot of wheels that I've seen on different types of Euro cars. Mm. I'll even go one far to say, like, it's the same type of people that are putting, you know, hypergrams or ampliforms or whatever it is on their, right? Because it follows that kind of tuning inspiration, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you think that there's totally a crossover there?
100%. If you want to, you know, be outside of the box. You know?
But a lot of the Japanese stuff, and I'm not talking about if you look at a lot of the Japanese stuff that is around, and maybe not the stuff that you're known for here in the U.S., but if you look at a lot of Japanese stuff, like there's companies like Crimson and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
the Japanese flavor is a little busy for me, right? And you'll hear – and the people that are about to argue this point
– Yeah.
Let's be clear about something, because I'm not talking about like Rays or whatever. The Japanese – there's a lot of other Japanese wheel companies that you don't know. Mm-hmm. I promise you, you don't know them. And when you start looking through some of those real hardcore Japanese JDM magazines, some of the wheels are very busy, and not in a derogatory way. It's just not my taste, right?
And we didn't really mention this before, but this is all opinionated. Like, it's our opinion.
This
like,
is not
calling brand opinion, or anything like that.
Right, 100%. And you have different views. You have a younger generation Japanese kind of guy. You got somebody that's kind of been, you know, around this stuff for a long time and still has a very, like, you know, import type of
taste, style.
Yeah, I mean, it's evolved. It's different because I'm older. But and then you have somebody that's on the complete opposite side of the fence, and they're in that Euro
Stancy.
Yeah. Now, I will say that
it's so interesting to hear you guys talk about the office, because you guys debate back and forth, because Scott is super, like, functional, and 100%. Doubt is super form. I'm sorry. I love hearing you guys go back and forth all day about.
Yeah, and there's plenty
which
of arguments. Plenty of arguments
that we can talk about.
And maybe there'll be a podcast. but it's true. You know, we debate about different things. I think that some of the fitment that some of his crew. No, that's not right. I'm putting the wrong thing. But a lot of the people that follow the same kind of taste and flavor you do.
Yeah.
Like, don't fit the car. but
make it fit.
I understand.
When there's a will, there's a way. That's how we look at it. That's the mindset that we
have
behind.
When
it.
I hear this guy say that, you know what comes to my mind? Back in the day, I remember, so we're going back to like the late 90s, like 2000, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that, like, at that time, a 17x8 wheel was a lot of wheel.
It was a lot of wheel back then. Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, width-wise, yeah. Right? And then, you know, when people started putting like people started putting like 8.5s or even trying to push 9s on the front of these cars, that was a lot of wheels. So I remember, like, our version of making it work was literally putting like grip tape around a baseball bat, we used to like cut the edge of the bat off and then use the taper to there'd be like three of us trying to roll one fender. We'd have like this bat. Don't do this, by the way.
Do not.
And we would kind of like put it in reverse or whatever. And there's some really funny.
The best is like when you're doing it and like it just goes wrong and you hear the. Yeah. It's like the paint crack or your quarters cracked. Yeah. Or
I mean, look,
if you have fiberglass, and it's screwed.
And it's so primitive, but there was this point at where if you had done a few of these things or enough of these things, you started to figure out
how to do it without messing it up.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a science to it, but we'll get it better, right? But I mean, there's some really funny videos on the internet of people doing it. The bat breaks in half, and then it's stuck in the thing, and the quarter is just getting. Anyhow.
The bat pops out.
My favorite trick is the magazine or phone book trick. Yeah, it's only if you have air though. But like, you know, you slide a magazine or something a little thick under there and air out, and it kind of pushes out the fender a little bit.
Don't do anything. You can lift the car, and you know, you got the jack.
Well, anyways, don't do anything we just mentioned.
No, not one thing, please.
Nothing. So let's go back to this original topic. So you think that's totally within the realm?
100%.
So now I would go on and say that there's a stark difference in product, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the stuff that you tend to like on your car is very monoblock looking. It's very full looking. Mm-hmm. It's got a lot of busyness, a lot of stuff going on in a wheel design.
100%, yeah, I do.
And I would argue that the wheels that you're saying, we're talking about those JDM wheels that could go on some of these cars, are polar opposite in the way that a lot of them are so clean.
Yes, you are right.
So what makes it okay? No, that's not the right word. And that's the thing. The one thing we are good about, and you've known this if you're watching these podcasts, is that we're car people, right? So anything out there, it doesn't matter what rhyme or reason, like we're never knocking, we're just voicing our own opinions. But truth is, like, if you're into cars and you like we're down for that. Like that's the big piece. We're just friendly bantering, right?
Right.
But so how do you as a Euro guy that has such stark difference in taste go from one to the other?
Reason being is because when you go to all these shows, when you go to all the Volkswagen shows and Audi shows, you start to see the same thing over and over and over again.
Sure.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to say this, and you guys will probably have a lot of hate comments on this. The BBS RS. Every Volkswagen guy I know, they go and put those on their car. And honestly, I've been to shows where I could put 15 of them in a row, and they all have the same wheels.
Yeah.
It bores me.
Right.
That's why I think by bringing a little bit of JDM flavor into it, it does create a difference. It's
changes
like,
it a little bit.
That guy, I've never seen those wheels on that car before.
Yeah.
So let's go one step around here.
Okay.
So you first off, I would argue that the whole thing about going to a show and seeing the same wheels on a bunch of different cars would be true in any segment, not just the Euro segment.
Yes, no, of course. Any segment, it will be true, yes.
Because I would argue that if you go to, like, a Wakefest or any one of those that you walk through and you may see, you know, a bunch of this wheel or a bunch of that wheel. I don't want to get into calling out specific names, not because I'm worried about talking about other brands, but because, like, I don't want to put a stigma in somebody's head that we're against one style or another. It's not about that. But so I would go as far to say that, like, you could...
Like, it can happen with other cars. Like, you can see other cars with, like, the exact
100%.
Same.
You can go out there and see 10 or red Civics, and they can all be running the same same wheels, right?
100%.
But there's a totally different look between so, no, all right, let's go another direction. How do you think it's widely received within the Euro community if you take a JDM wheel and put it on the car? Is it about does the fitment outrank the wheel style, or does the wheel style outrank the fitment?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Fitment is always key. You know, as long as it fits, as long as it look good, that's the main objective here. But the wheel has to flow with the car as well. It can't be just any random JDM wheel thrown on a Euro car. It does come down to...
The style has to go with the car.
Style has to go with the car. But it's also one of those things, it's like you don't see it very often.
Like, for me, just talking about the Volkswagen Audi shows, like I said, you go and you walk around, you're like, oh, same fitment, same wheels over and over again. When you throw a little JDM into the Euro scene, it's like, whoa, that I've never seen before type of thing. Or I've only seen it on the internet or anything like that.
Right.
Versus going to a show and seeing the exact same wheels over and over and over again. Don't get me wrong. I love the wheels, but there's a point where you got to be a little different.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a mix of people, right? You, like, you definitely have the car, the Euro cars that you may expect to see in, like, from a Super Street kind of content perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the guys that, you know, back in the day would have said about the Eurotuner perspective, right? Like, they're definitely two ends of the spectrum. The question is, can they meet? So here's another question for you.
Yes.
Would you acknowledge that there's different types of Euro guys?
Yes, 100%.
There's the old school Euro guys,
mm-hmm.
and those old school Euro guys are very, very Euro to the point where they're like, they have almost their own
down
playbook.
To the, yeah, their playbook. It's
we'll call them the purist, the Euro purist.
Yeah,
right?
We could put that. Yep, Euro purist. There's 100% Euro purist.
And never in their life would they be caught with a JDM wheel on their car.
Never
right?
in their life.
Right.
Do you see that becoming more of a trend? Like, have you seen Euro cars start to put, like, Japanese-style wheels
on
their cars?
I've been seeing more and more of it. It really comes down to, like, seeing it at shows, seeing it on the internet, seeing it in videos. But it's not a consistent thing. It's very rare.
So you don't think it's becoming, like, more popular?
It is, yeah.
Yeah?
Little by little, it's getting there. It's getting a little...
But is it because of the wheel designs themselves, or is it because of that desire to, all right, everybody's running these wheels
the
now,
desire to be different
to,
a bit.
I need to come okay. up with
it's
something
the desire
different.
To be different.
Okay. Right?
The desire to be different from, like, for me, for instance, you know, driving up to a show, I don't want to have the same wheels as anybody.
But here's the thing. This is going to be tough because I can't. It's impossible because
it's,
the wheels
it's
that
so
you
hard.
Want, the wheels
it's,
that you constantly
is,
want, everybody else has.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yes, you might have seen it online, but, like, sometimes you can roll up to a show and you
and be the only one with it.
Be the only one with them.
That's fair. That's fair. So all right. So that brings us to a point where you would say, a lot of times wheels that get super hype, that are everywhere all over online, are not the wheels that people are actually putting on their cars.
That's a tough one.
It's the wheels that people want to put on their cars, not the wheels that people do put on their cars.
You have different views on this one. People might want them, but some people will say, oh, I'll still never run that wheel in my car. I might like them, but it's still not for me.
Like, it looks good for that person.
Looks good for that person's
style, but I
wouldn't
personally do it.
I personally would never do it type of thing, you know.
Yep.
It's going to be like that in any JDM, Euro scene.
100%.
Yeah, it's going to be like that regardless.
It's the same thing. Like, you know, we get people all the time, and if you go through our comment section, whether it be on Instagram or YouTube or Facebook or whatever it is, you will see people that will say, if you would just make this wheel in this color or this fitment, whatever, everybody will buy them. Everybody will buy them.
We hear that a lot.
Right? But, and so you've been here. Well, I'll tell you what's even more funny. but the point of this whole thing is that tends not to be true. And it's hard for us to have to answer people back and say, thank you for your, like, because we appreciate the feedback and we want the feedback. Like, we take every one of those, the feedback that comes in, and we literally, make sure we talk around it about the office, you know, mm-hmm. to make sure that we are verbal about the type of feedback we're getting. And when it becomes pretty prevalent, when we see a lot of it come in, that's usually the point where we then really dive off and decide, should we try this? Should we look into this? And that's what we mean about popular. But there's plenty of people that send messages in all day long.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, if you would just build this 17 by 14 at 12 offset, like, everybody would buy
everybody
them.
Everybody would buy them. But, give me a list of 100 people that'll buy them, and then maybe we'll talk.
Right. And so that's one of those things. That happens.
We get it, quite frequently.
It's a big change coming from your side. So that was in a totally unrelated industry, and then he came over here as a car enthusiast only. Never worked for an automotive company.
Never.
And it's always fun watching people that, that join up with us that have never been in an automotive company, because at first you come in with all the things. Listen, I remember doing it myself. 15 years ago when we came in, I remember telling the owner at the Koenig of that time, I remember saying to him, you know, if we could just build more lightweight wheels, like, that's what people want. And I remember him laughing at me. And I'm like, why is that funny? Like, I couldn't figure it out. That's like saying, like, you know, like, oh, well, you know, if you put food in front of a really hungry person, they would probably eat it. Like, it's it's a given, but there's so much more complicated pieces to that.
To actually getting it done.
To getting it done, to doing it the right way, to being able to, you know, and it spirals down. But it's the same type of thing, you know, like when you start talking about people that come from the other side of the industry, you come in and you have this perspective of like, oh, like, you know, now, like, you know, why don't these companies do, give that these people what they want? Why don't they do this if they just did this? And then you get into the backside of it and you're like, oh, crap.
Now I understand.
Yeah. Like, doing that will probably ruin the company.
Well, or even if it doesn't ruin the company, but it's very, very complicated. There's a lot of logistics, a lot of moving pieces, a lot of things that go into, like, can you do certain things? Can you not do certain things? And then there's the demand, which is like, look, we do not always produce wheels based off of, can we sell a million wheels? You've seen that.
Yes.
We don't do that. Like, we're happy to build a wheel, even if it's going to be lower volume, as long as there's enough volume there. But you have to have, you know, people are so conscious about price point. And sometimes price point has less to do with quality and more to do with logistics.
Yeah.
And if we make a smaller run sometimes, if we can't, like, if we required a new mold or something like that, we could make a wheel that would essentially have a lower volume run and to be able to recoup some of the costs that it takes to run these logistics and put this wheel into production, the wheel cost would be so high. And that's why you see a lot of those really expensive wheels. It's not about the quality change. It's about they're one-off. They're only going to sell 50 sets for the, you know, for an entire year. And when they only sell 50 sets for an entire year, how do you make enough money to be able to stay in business and do the, so that's where some of that stuff comes from. So that becomes a lot of the logistics, but there's a lot, and there's a ton more examples.
There's a ton when
about that
specific colors,
fitments,
which is always, you know,
there's a lot going on that
kind of makes it, I hate to use the word impossible. Everything is possible, but
yeah, it's not.
It harder to do to keep the wheels at the certain price point.
Yeah,
right, for us, and that's why there's a lot of things that we, you know, people say, "Oh, will you build forged wheels? Will you do this?" And the answer isn't that we can't. We do, and because we do private label for some other companies and different things, we may already do that for somebody else.
Yeah,
but it becomes a choice within our company what we choose to do and what we think kind of fits with our brand and different things. And we do gravitate, we do change, and we do build things that are a little outside the realm. And sometimes we test the waters and we're right. Sometimes we test the waters and we're wrong. You know,
can't always be right.
Right. Sometimes we get stuck in the hype, just like you. You know, you say, oh, everybody's got to build this wheel. And we're like, yeah, like we see it too. And then we make it and everybody's like, it's awesome. I just wouldn't put it on my car. It happens all the time. It's colors. Everybody wants something that they can't have. Yep. But then when it comes available,
they wouldn't put it on their car.
They wouldn't put it on their car. And
they like it for the next guy.
Then when it's discontinued, everybody wants it again. That's the best part.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
That's the
other thing that's learning. That as soon as you tell somebody they can't have something, all of a sudden
everybody wants it.
So there's that. All right. So I guess I don't know how long we've been going, but let's wrap this.
It's been about like 25 minutes.
Yeah. So let's wrap this thing up. And let me leave today with a question for you. The question is, how do you feel about crossing segments and different things? So, right, how do you feel about taking a Euro wheel and putting it on a JDM car? How do you feel about taking a JDM wheel? Did I just say that twice?
No.
How do you feel about putting a Euro wheel on a JDM car and a JDM wheel on a Euro car?
There you go.
Yep.
I got it.
I think that was it.
So, and so there's plenty of other segments, too. So if you have any other thoughts about, you know, different segments and crossing and what's your thoughts? I mean, do you feel that fitment is over style? Do you think style is over fitment? You know, where would you err on how that goes? We'll have another day where we beat doubt up here for the fitment that he uses on his cars. Well,
maybe you will. I kind of like the...
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it.
It's just not your style. It's okay. That's all right.
It's not that I don't like the look of it. I just think at some point...
You don't like the function of it is what you don't like.
Yeah.
Or the lack thereof.
Like, listen, why have a
7... drive it.
Why have a 10-inch wide wheel when you're going to put a tire on the car that's only going to be 7 inches of contact patch?
Because it looks great.
There you go.
All right. Well, my head's going to hurt. I think putting an animation
of your head just exploding.
We have some other content coming your way. Hopefully Friday we have continued the streak. If not, then we're very sorry. But no, we'll have something up.
Something's going up Friday. We just don't know what
yet. So that's our big thing right now. If you're listening to iTunes or Google Play, every Friday we're trying to put out a new piece of content.
Right.
Wednesdays, we're putting out the podcast that you see here.
And at 3 p.m., we go live. So if you're watching this before 3 p.m., tune in on our Instagram and Facebook because we'll be going live answering your guys' questions. So
every Wednesday, 3 p.m., we go live on Facebook and Instagram.
Right.
And we answer questions. We talk about car stuff. So whatever you have, feel free to join in. Come hang out with us. And I don't know. I guess that's about it. Make sure you stay tuned to Friday. If you have not already done so, please like this video and subscribe, and we will catch you next time. Take care.